You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Repeat After Me. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses, those in Canton and Worcester and Millersburg and Coshocton and Dover. You picked a great day to be at New Point because we're kicking off a brand new series that is called Repeat After Me, How to Pray Like Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but prayer is an incredible opportunity. And it's an incredible opportunity for you and I to be able to seize, because it's a great privilege. If I could tell you that you could talk to the wisest person in the world, the most powerful person in the world, the one who could definitely do something about what you find yourself in and going through, would you want to talk to them? You would say, absolutely. Well, we're going to learn how you and I can do that, because that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Somebody has said it like this, that the Christian is no more powerful than his or her prayer life. The Christian is no more powerful than his or her prayer life. And why is that? Well, the person who doesn't pray is working with hand tools. Okay, you got a handsaw, and it's basically all depending on your power and your energy. The person who prays is working with power tools, something that is more powerful than they can bring to the table. And so this is huge, and this is important. Now, if I haven't convinced you yet, let me share with you what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Here's what he writes, and it's there in your notes, and I encourage you to follow along, all right? Here's what he says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow. Why should we pray? Why should we take this serious? Because we're in a war. We're in a war. You see, your battle, my battle, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your kids. It's not against your mom or your dad. It's not against your boss. It's not against your friends. It's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world that we live in, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And you know what? He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy everything that you and I know and enjoy and love. And you're either going to fight him on your own, or you're going to fight him through the power of prayer that has the ability to be able to defeat him and dethrone him. And so this is very, very, very important. Now, when you study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you find out is the disciples who hung out with Jesus, they basically only asked Jesus to teach them one thing. If somebody could teach you one thing, what would you ask them to teach? Teach me how to get a date, maybe. I don't know. Teach me how to make money. Teach me how to lead. Teach me how, fill in the blank. But that's not what the disciples ask. Luke records in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, here's what he says. He says, Lord, teach us to pray. We've observed your life. We know that nobody does life better than you. We see people pulling at you, demanding things from you. We see all of this happening in your life, Jesus, and you know what? It doesn't seem to faze you. You have a peace. You have a purpose. There's a sense of power working in your life. And we find you going off and being by yourself. And we ask, what are you doing? You're saying you're talking to the Father. Would you teach us how to do that? Because our life isn't going that well. Our life is being turned upside down. We're not handling life very well. And so Matthew records what Luke says that they asked, teach us how to pray. And here's what Matthew has to say. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, what we need to understand is Jesus didn't say this is what you should pray. Okay? And though I think it's good for us to memorize the Lord's Prayer, okay, he's not saying this is what you should pray. He is saying this is how you should pray. And so what we want to do is every week, and I encourage you to come, every week what we want to do is we want to break down a phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Matter of fact, I believe in this so much that, you know what? For 6 weeks with our small groups, we're focusing on prayer. And I'd encourage you to pick up a workbook today. And I would encourage you to become a part of a small group and to be able to host one or to be able to be a part of one. And at all of our campuses, we're going to have a campus group based on this as well. So you could attend there. And so I just encourage you to be able to make sure that you're in some form of a group so that you can learn how to pray. Because I'm going to give you the basics here, but you need to be able to go much, much deeper and learn with a group of other people. And so Jesus is saying, this is how you should pray, not this is what you should pray. And so let's break it down. Here's what he says. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. Now, isn't it interesting that he doesn't say my Father? You see, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we join a family. It's called the family of God. And all of us have the same Father. And so he says, our Father in heaven, the one who sets above all of the principalities and the darkness and the evil forces that we just read about in Ephesians. He's above all of that. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And so what I want us to do is I want us to break this down. So let's look at our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And so he's in heaven, which means that he's above all of the principalities and the darknesses and the spiritual evil forces that are at work in our world. And so what we need to understand is this. When I say our Father, for some of us, that conjures up unbelievable painful memories. And so what we have to understand is this. Jesus speaks of two fathers. He speaks of a bad father, and he speaks of a good father. Here he's speaking of the good father. But he also speaks of the bad father. And he does this in John, and he's talking to the disciples. Here's what he says. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. He goes on to say this. You are of your Father, the devil. Uh-oh. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so Jesus here lets us know that there's a bad father, and that is the devil. And he is a murderer. He wants to kill everything in your life. And by the way, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, this is your daddy. Y'all right on that one? And that's why you do the things that you do. He's a murderer. He wants to kill everything that has any life to it. He brings death. And he's a liar. And so when you think, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, those are all lies from the bad father. Now Jesus, okay, also talks about another father, our Father in heaven. And James describes him as this. James says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. All right? Goes on to say this, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Goes on to say this, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Okay? What he is saying is, don't think if there's evil going on in your life right now, it has nothing to do with God. God doesn't bring evil. God brings good. And when evil is happening in your life or around your life or in your family, it's from the bad father, not from the good father. That's why he says, do not deceive. And this is so important. Why would you want to talk to a father that has caused you all kinds of trouble? And if you think that the trouble that you have in your life is because God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, then you're not going to want to talk to him. And so you have to understand that there's a bad father and there's a good father. And that's why he says, do not be deceived. Don't be blaming that stuff on the good father. The bad father is the one who's the murderer. He's the liar. And so he says, do not be deceived, my dear brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father, our Father in heaven of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's perfect in all of his ways. Now here's what I want us to understand. This is why it's so important, okay? Listen to me. Almost every bondage in our life has its roots in a father's wound. You know why you struggle with relationships? Goes back to your daddy, your earthly daddy. This is why this is so important. Every struggle, every bondage that you find yourself dealing with your wife, with your husband, with your son, with your daughter, with other people, it has its root in a father's womb. And this is why it's so important that we understand that there's a bad father and there's a good father. And basically what prayer is, okay, the Bible would say that the devil is a thief who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so prayer is calling the cops on the thief who wants to destroy you and steal from you and rob you and kill you. Are you with me? And so it's very, very important that you and I understand that there's a bad father and there's a good father. And everything that was bad in your earthly father, he got from the devil. Everything that was good in your earthly father, it was because of the good father, God. And so let me break it down here for us, all right? Because I believe that this is going to be helpful. It may be painful, but it will be helpful. Here's what I see. The bad father here is performance-oriented. And what I mean by that is the bad father, okay, places demands for perfection and obedience at all costs. And love is only expressed when you hit the target. And so, therefore, love is conditional. And so you feel shameful when you fail. And if that's how you grew up, if that's the household that you grew up, then the tendency for you or for me is to view God as demanding and with all kinds of strings attached and shame-based. But the good father's not like that. The good father is a provider. Okay? He provides for us. He doesn't wait for you and I to fail. Okay? Hebrews says this. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. See, we have confidence with him so that we may receive mercy and find grace to what? To help us in our time of need. See, the performance-oriented father waits for you to fail so he can criticize you and shame you. But the good father says, no, I'm here to help you. I want to give you my grace. What is grace? God's power to meet our need. Here's the second thing. The bad father is passive. The bad father is passive. And here's what I mean by that. They have no great demands on their children. They don't demonstrate love and affection. They might be good providers, but they're low on involvement in their children's lives. They're physically present, but unemotional involved. They're not involved emotionally. Now, here's the good father. The good father is proactive, proactive. You see, what happens is if you don't understand that the good father is proactive, you will get your view of God from your passive father, that God's uninvolved, he's aloof, he's not interested in you. And yet here's what 1 John tells us about God being proactive. We love him because he what? He first loved us. He took the initiative. God is not passive in any way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I love what Isaiah writes about our God. He says, fear not. Now, this is God. He's not passive, okay? He's proactive. I am with you, all right? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so the bad father is passive. The good father, he's proactive. He wants to be involved. Let's look at another one. How about this one? The bad father is absent. The bad father is absent. And here's what I mean like that. He's not at home, okay? Maybe through a death, maybe through divorce, maybe through work, maybe through abandonment. And 50% of children grow up in single-parent homes. And so they struggle with abandonment. And what happens is many times the children blame themselves for the absence. And if this happens, okay, if this is what has happened to you, our tendency is to view God ready to abandon us at any time. That he will just leave us and he'll let us fend for ourselves. But the good father is present. Is present. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Here's what the Hebrew writer writes of him. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. And I'll never forsake you. Isaiah says it like this. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Your lifetime. Your lifetime. From the time that you first take your breath to the time that you take your last breath. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. That's what the good father is. The bad father is absent. The good father is present. How about this one here? The bad father is the authoritarian, all right? Is the authoritarian. Here's what I mean by that. He's mostly interested in law and not love. Stern, never question him. Unquestionable obedience. There's no emotion in the relationship. And he rules with fear or intimidation. And so what happens is, if that's the home that we end up growing up in, or that's, if that's our experience, can be from a pastor as well, then what happens is we view God as a legalistic disciplinarian. And so what happens is we obey God, not out of love, we obey God out of fear. And our relationship with God is based on fear. So who wants to talk to a guy who's basing it on fear? But here's what we see about God, okay? He's patient. He's patient. He's understanding. He's willing to work with us. Here's what the psalmist writes. But you, O Lord, are merciful and a loving God. Check this out. Always patient. Always patient. Always kind. Always faithful. Wow, that's the good father. And Jesus tells us that there's a bad father and there's a good father. How about this one right here? And that is this. The bad father is abusive. Is abusive. And what I mean by that is they're verbal or physical or emotional abusive, okay? Can even be sexually abusive. And so this leads to anger. This leads to fear. It leads to hidden guilt and fear and shame. And so what happens is when you grow up in a family like this or you have an experience like this, what happens is you distrust people. You distrust leaders. You distrust those who are called to lead you. And yet God, the good father, is protective. He's protective. He's not abusive. He loves you. He cares about you. David writes it like this in 18:2 of Psalms. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection. And with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield, and he defends me, and he keeps me safe. And so Jesus talks about two kinds of fathers. He talks about the bad father. That's Satan. He's got two missions, to kill and to lie. To kill and to lie. And what happens is when I understand that there's two different fathers, then what happens is now I can begin to understand why certain things happen in my life and why certain things don't happen in my life. And so if we're going to pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father, which is in heaven, we have to understand that, you know what, your view of God might be twisted because of a bad father. You see, you've heard me say this over and over again, that your view of God is the most important thing about you. It affects everything. That's why every bondage, I believe, almost every bondage, is rooted in a father's wound. Why do we have so many homes that are fatherless? Why do we struggle with authority? Why do we struggle with love? Why do we struggle with relationships? It all goes back to this. You see, the bad father knows that. The bad father knows that. And that's why here at New Point, we believe in family life ministry, family life. Because the family is so important. Now here's what you need to understand. Maybe you didn't grow up with any of these. Maybe you didn't have a performance-oriented father, or you didn't have a passive father, or you didn't have an absent father, or authoritarian, or abusive father. Maybe your father was, but you know what? He wasn't perfect. You see, let me tell you about our good father here. This is what the psalmist writes about him. You are good, and you do good, and you do good all the time. There's not a father here who does that. I don't do that. And so it's so important that we come back and we realize this and we understand this. And so our Father, which art in heaven, I have to understand that God is a provider. He's proactive. He's present. He's patient. He's a protector. Because if I don't see him in his rightful state, I won't want to talk to him, and I will think that he has caused all the problems and the hurt and the pain in my life. And who wants to talk to somebody like that? I don't. And my hunch is neither do you. So we got to get this right. Jesus goes on to say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. The word hallow there is to be separated. This God is separated from all evil. Evil has no part of him. He participates in no evil. So anything that happens in your life or happens in my life that is evil, that is destructive, God has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that. And in the Bible, names were very, very, very important. They would give a name to a person. It basically would tell you who they are and what their identity is. And this is why when Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You see, when Moses was talking to God and he said, God told him, "I want you to go to Pharaoh." Moses said, "Who should I say sent me?" And he said, "You tell him, I am that I am. I am whatever you need, because I'm a good father." And so what I want to do is I want to give you some names of God that's going to help you. And it will take your prayer to a whole nother level. You see, let me give you what his name is. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means that the Lord is my righteousness. He's my righteousness. Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord who sanctifies. And the benefit of this is salvation. That, you know what? My Father in heaven, he has brought salvation to me. He's brought forgiveness of sin. And he's not only brought forgiveness of sin, he's brought salvation of where now he sanctifies me and he sets me aside for one purpose, and that is to honor him. And so now I have purpose in my life. That's a great benefit. So I hallow his name, that he's the forgiver of my sin and that he's the one who brings purpose in my life. How about this one right here? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. That's the meaning. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He is present. The benefit of this is his spirit. His spirit. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Anybody here interested in peace in your heart and your mind? We live in a world that's full of anxiety. And yet Jesus is saying, you know what? His name is peace. His name is present. He's there with you always. And so the benefit is his spirit. His spirit dwells in me. How about this one right here? Jehovah Rohi, the Lord heals. God is the one who makes me whole. God is the one who makes me whole. The benefit of that is soundness. He gives me a sound mind. If it were not for my relationship with God and my Father in heaven, you know what? I would be crazy. Can I just tell you that I believe that most of the mental illness that we call mental illness is not mental illness, it is demonic. You all right on that one? But you see, what happens is we don't live in a spiritual world. We don't think that way. We think in a physical world. We don't think that our fight is against flesh and blood. Or we think that our fight is against flesh and blood. We don't think that it's against the darkness and the principalities of this world. And so what happens is we have all of these thoughts that come into our head. And we think that we're going crazy. And the fact of the matter is, no, you're under attack. You're under attack. And what happens is I can worship and I can pray to Jehovah Rohi, the God who heals, the God who brings soundness to my mind. I'm not going crazy. The one who brings soundness to my whole body, my whole being, who brings wholeness and soundness. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Y'all okay? This is what prayer is all about. How about this one right here, all right? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Wow, this is success. This is success. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I'm praying to my Father in heaven who owns everything, who has everything. And so what happens is he brings me success. See, you don't need to know key people if you know the keeper of the keys. And it's our Father in heaven. Y'all okay? How about this last one here? Jehovah Nissa, the banner, the Lord is my banner. Maybe if you grew up in Sunday school, you sang that song. You know what? You know how it goes? I won't sing it for you, but let me tell you how it goes. The banner over me is love. Love. He's love. I'm encompassed by his love. I'm encompassed by his love. How about this one here? Jehovah Roha, the Lord is my shepherd. Are you familiar with that scripture? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Or how about this translation? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. What's the benefit of knowing him in this way? It's security. It's security. Let me ask you, anybody interested in salvation? Salvation, what that really means is freedom. Freedom. Anybody interested of having somebody who lives within you, who's all-powerful, all-loving, all-kind, and you have access to him? Anybody interested in soundness in a crazy world? Anybody interested in success as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a friend, as a leader? Anybody interested in being secure in an insecure world? You know who's interested in that? Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. God, I want to know you in all of these ways. I want to come and I want to talk to you about it. You see, the Hebrew writer says it like this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Check this out. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What does he reward us with? Salvation. What does he reward us with? Soundness. Success. His presence. And security. Your biggest wound in your life goes back to your father. And you know what God says to you today? I'm the good father. I'm your good father. No matter how good your earthly father was, he failed you. No matter how good your mother was, she failed you. You say, how can you say that? Because I fail my kids. Patty fails our kids. None of us are perfect. There's only one perfect father, and he's in heaven. And he loves you. And he's the one who can bring all of these benefits. And when you and I earnestly seek him, when we pray to him, when we learn how to pray, and we're going to do this in the next several weeks, what happens is you are rewarded in incredible, unbelievable ways. And so today I want to do two things. I want to give you the opportunity to come into relationship with the good Father. And you can say a simple yet life-transforming prayer of saying, God, I want you to be my father. I want you to be the good father that I long for in my life. I want to be able to talk to you. I want to be able to share with you. I want to be able to meet with you. I need you in my life. And I thank you for Jesus, who's made all of this possible. And all you have to do is say, you know what? What Dwight's talking about, God, I want. Here's the second thing I want to do. I want to talk to all of us who have wounds by our Father. I want you to give that to your Heavenly Father. This is not a rip on fathers or, and when I say fathers, I'm just talking about anybody in authority. It could have been a boss, it could have been a teacher, it could have been your dad, it could be anybody. But anybody in authority, what happens is when we are wounded by them, what happens is the enemy, the bad father, wants to say, yeah, your good father doesn't care about you. So we're going to sing a song. And when the band comes out, I want you to stand when I say amen. And I want you to say, God, I want you to be my father. And I want to begin to talk to you more than what I ever have in my life. I need you in my life. I want you in my life. And I thank you that you've made yourself available to me 24/7, 365. And when we come with faith and we earnestly seek him, he will reward us. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for revealing yourself to us. And I thank you that you're the good Father. And I pray that you would help us to be able to understand and be able to differentiate between the bad Father and the good Father. I pray, God, for those here today who maybe have been wounded by maybe an earthly parent or maybe a boss or a pastor or even a church that has distorted our view of who you really are. And I pray today that you would show us that you're the good, good Father and that you love us and that you care about us. And I pray that we would pursue you with all of our hearts because you've promised that you would reward us and that we would find you. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask these things. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.